is hot.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's always exciting, even to some degree exhilarating, and at the same time, disappointing and sad. If you've ever watched one of those shows where they pull back the curtain and they show you how the magic tricks are done, it's always exciting. You get to finally learn how it's all done. It's even exhilarating to see how they use things and trick people. But then you know how it's done, and it's kind of sad. It really is. No more will the trick work on you. You know how it's accomplished. You know how it's done. You know what to look for. So maybe it's a little sad and disappointing at the same time. No, that magician really isn't flying. No, she was not really cut in half. And no, there's no magic in the deck of cards. He really did just distract you, and quite frankly, he's that fast. It's a little sad and disappointing. Whenever you first show somebody how a trick is done, you can always kind of see it on their face, can't you? They're excited to learn, but yet sad at the same time of learning the trick behind it all. I remember years ago when I was teaching at Good Shepherd, one of the units there, and a young lady asked me, how did I come up with my sermons? How did I preach? And so I utilized the text that we were talking about in the class that time, and I kind of talked to her about it. I talked to her about the exegetical work and the study, but she didn't want to know about that. And then I got to talking to her about structures and patterns and how you can utilize a text and you kind of fit it into a pattern and how it ultimately flows. You could see it on her face. She was both excited to learn how it was all done and a little bit sad. Sad to see the curtain pulled back and see the mystery of sermon writing kind of narrowed down to structures and patterns. I even gave her an example utilizing the very text that we were working on. And maybe you guys, as you guys sit out there, have begun to wonder the same thing. Maybe you don't always pick up on the patterns or the structures, but yet at the same time, you have to admit, whenever you go to a Lutheran church, or specifically an LCMS church, they always tend to talk about sin. And they always tend to talk about the gospel in the narrow sense toward the end. They talk about how Jesus died for you, about how his blood cleanses you of your sin. You always get that gospel message. Was there some study done? Was there some study that was done long ago that showed that this was just the best approach? They interviewed people later on to see how they were doing and found out that if the gospel was presented, or maybe not. How is it that Lutheran churches, or again, specifically LCMS, tend to follow this same pattern? What's going on? Why do they talk like this? And is it really the best approach? And no doubt, as you begin to wonder about those words, about the sermon, about how it's all done, the patterns and the structures and so on and so forth, you might find yourself, in a sense, maybe doubting a little bit. It's not uncommon. In fact, the disciples doubted at times. They had moments of doubt. One of the reasons I actually love this time after Easter when we get to all these texts, because it makes all kinds of sense. The disciples were the disciples. They had followed Jesus. And in the ancient world, if you had a false teacher, if you had a false prophet, if you will, and you killed the false prophet, the next step was to kill the leaders. And after the leaders, if there were followers left, they got to go. And so it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. Jesus was crucified, and now the disciples are hiding away in a locked room. And Jesus comes to them. And then they doubt. And then Jesus comes again. Touch my side. Touch my hands. But you can kind of see the doubt form in their minds, can't you? Did that really happen? I mean, did it really happen? Or maybe I was just seeing things. Maybe it was a ghost. Maybe it was an apparition. Maybe I didn't really see what I think that I saw. You can just see it. Then you get to our text for today. Jesus comes to his disciples again. He is not a ghost. He's not just an apparition. He eats with them. He talks with them. They're allowed to actually touch him, to feel that he is not just some imaginary thing, but in fact, Jesus Christ is really there. He really rose from the dead. He was really talking among them, expounding Holy Scriptures, explaining things to them. Explaining things to them that they would not have understood before. But now, standing in the presence of the risen Lord, he continues to expound Holy Scriptures to them. And in the midst of that, he says something. And it's very interesting. It is the only verse in Holy Scripture where Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, tells the disciples exactly what to proclaim. Now you might be thinking, what about the Great Commission? Well, go back and read the Great Commission. He tells them what to do, but not necessarily what to say. He says, go, make disciples of all nations, and he tells them to baptize and to teach. But he doesn't tell them what to proclaim. He tells them what to teach, but not to proclaim. But here in the Gospel of Luke, he tells them what they are to proclaim. As you go out, proclaim repentance. That is to say, God's word tells us how we as God's children should be living. That's called law. And this word of God should bring us to repentance. That is, it should cause us to turn from our sin through the working of the Holy Spirit. It should cause us to turn from our sin and turn to God. That is repentance. And so the disciples are commanded to proclaim a message of repentance, to turn from our sin, to turn from those things that are contrary to God's will. And then they are to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. That Christ Jesus died and rose again. That his work on the cross redeems them, redeems you, redeems us. That through Christ Jesus our Lord, we are forgiven. He took our place, he took our punishment, and through him we have forgiveness. He has reconciled us with our Heavenly Father. We will call this the gospel. And so it is that we are to proclaim repentance or the law, and we also are called to proclaim the forgiveness of sins, or we might call it the gospel. And so it is that Lutheran sermons have a tendency to follow this pattern. The law and the gospel. We are called to proclaim this great message. And us also, as Christians, are called upon to proclaim this same message as we venture out, as we talk to others, as we talk to friends and family. This is the message that we are given. Yes, there is sin in the world. Yes, we have fallen short. Yes, we are called to repentance. But yes, Jesus died for us. Yes. Jesus rose again on the third day. Yes, he conquered death. Yes, he paid the price. And yes, through him we have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.